We're going to be going through a lot of verses. The Bible talks a lot about heaven. Huh? Thank you. The Bible talks a lot about heaven. I love preaching about heaven. It's kind of like the dessert. Let me get this real quick. It's kind of like the dessert for me, especially after going through 1 John. You remember how it was just... We come out feeling dirty because we are. But now we get to talk about heaven. And it is something, it's our hope. It's what we look forward to. And sometimes we forget about heaven and concentrate totally on this life today. And the strange thing about heaven is you ask people about heaven and they can't tell you what about heaven. You know, for many people, all they know about heaven is what they've learned from movies. Seriously. So how do movies portray heaven? Well, everything's white and fluffy. Clouds are everywhere. Matter of fact, you look like you're living inside a cotton ball. And you just got these little wings and you're flying around doing nothing. That's not heaven, guys. And for some people, they'd be bored to death. We're not going to be bored. Can we take the monitors down, please? We're not going to be more bored. And besides that, we're going to be strumming on some harps. Right? That's not the biblical view of what heaven is. The nightmare scenario would be like on a Saturday night in a small town, and you look to your wife and you say, "What do you want to do?" "I don't know." "What do you want to do?" "I don't know." That's not what heaven's going to be like. And so the impression naturally leads to the idea that heaven will be boring. Far from it. Heaven will be far from boring. And so, I want to get a key idea in our minds this morning. And that's what I'm calling the better than principle. And this simple scriptural idea about it's better than, that heaven, that what's awaiting for us in heaven is better than anything that we've ever seen before. Now, how can I say that with confidence? Well, in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that which God has prepared for those who love Him." God has prepared this place for us. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 10, "For he waited for the city," talking about Abraham, "which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, listen to what he says here. "For we know that if our earthly house," this body, this tent, "is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven." There is a place that we will go. There'll be no more weeds. You don't have to pull weeds from your garden, Terry. Okay? I'm assuming there'll be gardens. It'll be a real place with real new bodies. And God has made it, and it will be eternal. It is not floating around somewhere. It is not just eternally being, you know, drifting around as a spirit. It's a real place. Our eyes will see this place one day as believers in Jesus Christ. We will see it. And so to show the better than principle, let's answer a couple of questions. What will we do in heaven? What will we do in heaven? Well, the first thing we're going to do is worship. Guys, this is practice. Our worship here is practice. When we're in heaven, it'll be the real thing. Every heart will be right. Everything will be true. Our spirit, we will truly worship in spirit and in truth. There's no doubt about it. It won't be, I'm praising him, but only because I have to. No, it won't be that. It'll be true and sincere. It'll be real. And remember, in a real body, bowing down before a real God that we will just realize that he's real, we'll come before him and we'll understand that he is God and we are not. It's hard to see that sometimes here. But there, we'll worship. And matter of fact, Revelation 19, first 8 verses. After, and I'll just give you kind of a glimpse. This kind of gives us a glimpse of worship here. And after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth in her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his serpent shed by her. And again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants and those who fear him, both great and small and great. And I heard it as if it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of many mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now listen, that's just a snapshot of what life will be like in heaven. No one being dragged to worship, but everyone wanting to. You see, it's hard to worship when we're shackled or surrounded by sin. It's hard to see God in his glory when all we see is through the mud of the sins of the world. But all of that will be taken care of, and one day we will worship. I know I did it as a kid. All right, why would I want to sit through an eternal worship service? Boring enough here for an hour. Think about it. It's not going to be that way. For one thing, I won't be preaching. Hey, I heard that. No, I won't be preaching. We'll be sitting at the feet of the Master. Man. And the songs, for y'all who are vocally challenged, I really think the vocally challenged will be able to sing with a pure and sweet sound. And we put it all together, it's going to be awesome. Now, we're not talking about unending, tedious church services. And I want you to imagine the most glorious moment of the most glorious worship service you've ever been in. And I've been in a few. Some are better than others. But there's been some that have just moved me. I want you to imagine that moment. I want you to feel the intensity of that moment. Now, once you do that, I want you to multiply it by 10 times and expand it just from just one moment to an entire time of worship. Are you interested now? Is that something that you would like to experience? Man, that's what we'll be doing in heaven. And besides, that's not the only thing we'll be doing in heaven. There will be work. What? We're going to be work? Not for a paycheck necessarily, but I want you to look at some of these things. In Luke 19:17, And he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, you will have authority over 10 cities. That's not talking about 10 cities on the earth. It's talking about in glory. And there shall be no more curse, Revelation 22, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Serve him. That's not worship, that's serve. Matthew 19:28 says, "So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, and that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Wow. There will be things to do. You will live in a physical world created anew by God. You will be in a new physical body. There will be physical things to do. Jobs to do. It's not going to be boring. It's going to be fulfilling. And I don't know if I should use this term or not. But a third thing that I find that we're going to be doing in heaven is partying. Not the kind of partying you're thinking of in this world, necessarily. But look in Luke 22 through 28 and 30. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Revelation 9, 19, 7 through 9. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife have made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God." Look, there's going to be celebrations. This in particular is talking about the marriage of the lamb to the bride. But there's food. There's feasting. There's enjoyment. Now, I don't know all the details, and neither do you. I kind of like to think that there are some things down here that are pretty fun that we could do up there. I don't know, or wherever there is. But the idea that heaven is going to be boring, that there'll be nothing to do for we spend eternity on our harps strumming around through the clouds as we, no. It'll be a real place, a physical place with new physical bodies doing work for our Lord and our Lord God, and times of celebration, times of feasting. There'll come a the second question. Well, I take that back. Let me go back a second. What do we call partying here? Fellowship. That's what we do. When we have a catfish fry, we're having a party, but we call it fellowship so we don't get that mixed up. When we have fellowships, it's a party. We're celebrating. There'll be times of that in heaven. The second question I want to pose to you this morning is, why should I look forward to heaven? Your life may be doing great right now. You might think, "Boy, if I could just live forever here, it'd be great." Do you realize how silly that really is? Never dying in this body? I don't know about y'all, but my body is not doing too well. And I certainly wouldn't want to drink of the cup of everlasting life in this body. Now, if I was 20 years old, that may be different, but it's not the case. So what do I have to look forward to? In 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us that we're going to have full knowledge. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. We're going to know things. There are lots of times when you're doing a Bible study and we find that we come across something and somebody tries to explain something that's unknowable, and somebody will just say, well, we're just going to have to ask Jesus one day. We'll know things. The mirror, the darkness will be lifted. We'll be able to know. There are people ask, will we know who other people are in heaven? Yeah, we'll be known as we are known. I explain it. I'm not going to because I can't. But we'll know. And all of those who have passed before you. And I know some of y'all have lost mothers. Right? You'll know who your mother is. You'll know who your father is. You will know who your brothers and sisters are who may have passed on. You'll know your kinfolks, your friends, your spouse, your husband, your wife. You will know them. It won't be in the same way that you knew them here. But you'll know them. And when I sang that about I'm going to look up somebody, look up somebody and tell them I made it through okay. I'm here. When I sang that, I was just thinking, man, there's some people I need to look up. I need to tell them I didn't turn out bad after all. That bad after all. I had a lot of people praying for me when I was young. And maybe you did too, Terry. I mean something. No, I'm serious. We've had people in our lives who were influences on us. And that we maybe never told them. And maybe you want to walk up and just, hey, thank you. Thank you. We'll have full knowledge. Do you have questions that you can't answer? Do you have situations that you can't figure out? They'll all be answered in heaven. But you know what I think? I think once you get to heaven, you won't even think about asking them. You'll be so awestruck with what heaven is that you'll forget about this world. We'll also have our sins taken away. That's a big deal. We have that to look forward to. It's a struggle today, isn't it? It's a struggle fighting sin in this world. Every day when we wake up, and there's a reason why we're told to put our armor on every day. Because it's a battle. It's a war. This world is not heaven. This world is nowhere close to heaven. Because in heaven, if nothing else, we'll have our sin taken away. But if we walk in the light, as 1 John 1:7 says, as if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us of all sin. We can't even imagine what life without the temptation of sin is like, more or less. You know, we can't imagine life without sin. Can I suggest to you, if you got a problem with that, because you think right now, I kind of like my sin, and maybe that's the reason why you're kind of holding on to this world and not heaven. You're not looking forward to heaven. You can't even imagine how great it would be to live a life without sin. Can you even imagine a life without sin? Now, you think that your sins today are pretty cool, are pretty addictive, if you will. You think that that's it. But once you understand a life and is living a life without sin, you will understand that you'll never want to ever experience sin again. And you will be able to do that in heaven because He will not allow sin in His presence. Period. I'm kind of getting wanting to go now. I want you to think for a moment about the sin that you've struggled with for so long. I ain't going to list them all. You know what they are. Now imagine what it would be like not to have to deal with it anymore.
Those things that get you in trouble, those things that are hurting your health, those things that are killing you in so many different ways, those things that are causing broken relationships in your life today, those sins will no longer be there. And even though Christ is able to help us overcome those sins in this life, even when we gain the victory, that problem is always lurking. It never goes away, waiting on us for our guard to go down. And then sin, Satan, sin comes in and rips our lives up with sin. Not so in heaven. I can't think of a better place that I'd rather be. And the third thing is it will be more beautiful and vibrant than earth. You know, white puffy clouds are not much to look at, but heaven will be even more colorful, gracious, glorious, beautiful, and vibrant than the world's wonders have to offer. And I've seen some spectacular views of God's handiwork on this earth. It will pale in comparison to what He's got prepared for us. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He is right now preparing a place for you. A place for me. I don't think he's going to crimp on the materials. I ain't got time to go into it, but when you read in Revelation about the streets of gold and all the ordinance, you know. Okay. I would be satisfied with a little cabin out in the middle, you know, cabin someplace. But I think he's making a mansion for us, to be honest, what we would consider a mansion. I think the place that he's got for us will be so spectacular. I can't even begin to imagine the sights that we will see when we enter the New Jerusalem for the first time and walk the streets of gold. By the way, gold is just pavement, right? I can't even imagine. But one day I will. One day I'll see it. I got to spend a few moments on this third point, because I want to. I'm kind of hyping myself up here. I'm kind of remembering what heaven's going to be like instead of all the problems of this world, and we all got them. The hopelessness sometimes of the world, sometimes the grief that comes with this world. But I know that I'll see all my grandparents again. I can say that. They all make professions of faith. They all look to the Lord for their salvation. So I can say that one day I will. I also know that as depressing and as sad as this world can be, that I'm destined myself for a better place with them and with Him. But not everybody has that hope. Not everybody has that hope. Matter of fact, most people don't. A lot of people wish. A lot of people say, I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. I'm not near bad enough to go to hell. That's the way most people think. So how is it that we can go to this wonderful place that God has created for us when we pass from this life? Well, it's found in John 14. I read the first three verses, and we're going to continue on in verse 4. Jesus just talked about preparing a place. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And in verse 4, and where I go, you know. And the way, you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, if you'd known me,
You would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. It is not about you and how good you are. It is not about how bad you may have been. It is not about how religious you are. It is strictly and solely about who you know. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know him as a Heavenly Father, one that has loved you so much that he sent his Son to this earth to die on a cross for us to pay the penalty for our sins, that when we die, we stand before the pearly gates of heaven and God says, your debt has been paid. All I see is the blood of my Son. That's how you get into heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. And if you're out there in here and you've never had that relationship experience with him, it's my prayer right now that there's something on the inside, the Holy Spirit touching your heart, convicting you of your need. Maybe you've listened to this message about heaven and you say, Brother Randy, I really want to go there. And I think I'm good enough. That doesn't cut it. You've got to know the one who can give you entrance into that place, that wonderful place. And the only one that can do that is Jesus. And the only way you can receive that promise of eternal life and that place in heaven is by asking him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't get there on my own. Lord, I know that there's more to this world than this world. And I want to be with you forever. I want to live with you in that glorious place of heaven forever. So Lord, can I? Would you save me? And all the time that's going on, he's saying, come, come, come. And so this morning, if that little scenario is playing out in your heart, and you've never had this happen before. You've never had the experience of saying yes to God. Lord, I want to be saved. And he says yes. By the way, he doesn't say no. But if you haven't, this is your opportunity right now, wherever you're at, to bow on one knee or however you want to do it. Just say, God, Lord God, save me. Through the name of Jesus Christ. It's the only way that I can be saved. So this morning, are you here? Are you there? And you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart? Well, then you'll never see the glory of heaven. As a matter of fact, your experience will be much, much different. You think hell is on this earth? No. No, not even close. Hell will be terrible. It'll be eternal. And you'll be punished forever. I know that's not popular. I know that doesn't sound politically correct. But I'll tell you this. It's true. It doesn't matter. So this morning, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, and the Spirit of God is talking to you, telling, convicting your heart of sin, telling you that you need to become a saved child of God by asking Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. If that's what's going on, would you please do this? Do it now. You say, Brother Randy, I've already had that experience. Absolutely wonderful. I am so happy. I'm glad that you've had that experience. You are assured of knowing where you're going. But can I also tell you something else? Can I tell you that we need to think about this life in a whole different way than what we're thinking about it. We need to talk more about heaven. We need to think more about heaven. We need to be prepared more about heaven, about our life in heaven. We need to start worshiping, practicing our worshiping better. We need to start living our lives better. I know we're not going to get rid of the sin here, but we need to practice as if for when we do. In heaven, we need to, our hope needs to be and our understanding needs to be, I am not scared of death because I know where I'm going. Not I hope I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. And sometimes when as a saved child of God drifts off into the world, they forget the certainty of where they're going, because this world tells them something totally different. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, I'm going to give you this opportunity right now to make some decisions for God, especially if the Spirit's dealing with your heart right now. And you've got a little taste of what awaits those who believe. Spirit of God is touching your heart. Would you come to Him today? And maybe you're a saved child of God and you believe the world's lies. Stop. Heaven's a real place as well as hell. And you made a choice to be with Christ and God in heaven. Live our lives like we have. So as we sing this morning,